Several years back, there was a popular movement of people who identified as spiritual but not religious. You may have heard of that. Maybe it resonates with you. Perhaps you have family members who have said that to you. It's really not a new reality. Roots are deep, and they go back to the arguments of faith and works, of law and love. But it's enjoyed a rather strong resurgence in our day, perhaps from the bad example of religion, the priest scandal and other things, perhaps because of all the New Age spiritualities that seem to be so attractive and good. While spiritual but not religious may seem sophisticated, I like what the Jesuit priest Father James Martin says. He said, spiritual but not religious is plain old laziness, trending towards self-centered complacency. I think it's true. And if you've been affected by laziness, you know something of that. I know I do. I can be camouflaged in religion, but really it's pride that's being camouflaged. And if you can relate to any of that, today's gospel is such good news. Because Jesus is announcing and providing a bath of God's perfect love in which we can be washed in. He gives us this magnificent and famous parable which shows us what right religion looks like and good spirituality. And as familiar as the Good Samaritan is to all of us, I think it's particularly good to hear it in our own day, today. Because that dangerous road is not foreign to us. It's not some back alley in some city or between Jerusalem and Jericho. It's in our broad daylight where the contempt of human life is so loud and proud and where life itself seems so fragile and hated and threatened. We all have a place on this road. And what it demands, what the call is, we have just heard. The story of the Good Samaritan does expose religious fraud. But be careful, because you're religious. And the story of this priest and Levite who did the wrong thing, who passed on the other side, there's no excuses. But we can understand their shallow response. It could very well be, I'm sure, that like this scribe that asked Jesus the question, who's my neighbor? They knew who the neighbor was. They knew the commandment to love. But they did not know how. Perhaps you've experienced that, like I have. For me, sometimes it's when I'm at that light by Walmart and I see that guy with the sign or the woman with child. Sometimes it's my time doesn't allow for love. Scripture scholars tell us that this priest and Levite were probably on the way to the temple, and if they did stop, they would have been impure. They would not have been able to worship. Maybe they were a decoy. That's not uncommon, right? This past year, I took a pilgrimage to Bosnia. And while the whole group went shopping. They went shopping, and I just spent that hour on the bridge in Mostar. And I found a chair and I sat down. And in the course of that 1 hour, I witnessed such fraud, such sadness. A woman with a little child, we would call them a gypsy. I thought that it was a baby doll, I really did, but no, it was a real baby. And just how she was a pawn. Her owner, I don't know if you call him a pimp or not, he literally, I watched him several times come down and get the money from her. I thought my life was threatened a little bit because I could see what was going on here. My friends, what does it take to love? I think in the story of the Good Samaritan, it's an underdog. It's an outsider. It's a Samaritan that shows the way and manifests this great charity. This Samaritan not only had charity, but had freedom, had availability, had time, was unafraid. I think of Mother Teresa. When she was an outsider, she taught geography in a classroom for elementary school. And it was she who left Europe to go down to India to put on a Muslim garb and to pick up the poor. She did it. And in doing so, she attracted thousands. She made a beautiful difference. You see, my friends, that is sometimes what's involved. Did you ever wonder if the Samaritan had someone else to help them? Maybe they did. Maybe they said, come on, we need to pick up this guy. You grab his legs, I'll grab the arms. Maybe the innkeeper was involved in this good work. Maybe they went to town and took up a collection because the Samaritan himself was poor. You see, from the charity of one, a charity for others and with others arose. And that is the same story of Jesus, of religion, of church. St. Augustine said that this story of the Good Samaritan is not just a morality tale, it's a salvation tale. That Jesus is the Good Samaritan looking on us. And he called forth helpers with a mission to love. He established a church. He provided sacraments so that it's his love, it's his flesh, it's himself who can be present to any and all in need through others, through you and me. And so, my friends, the call here is not just for us as individuals, but it's for us from the Lord, with him. Faith alive in our lives and in our works. Grace transforming our nature, our way of life. And a willingness on our part to be so involved, to sacrifice, to work, to grow in likeness of his love as his kingdom. There's nothing lazy about that. There's nothing merely spiritual. But that is the fullness of love, believed in the heart and lived in daily life. And what a task that is in our own day. You know, this past week, the corrupt Nicaraguan government kicked out the missionaries of charity. That's how much they hate religion and church. And you know who's going to suffer from that? There was a picture of all the missionaries of charity leaving Nicaragua today, this week. The people of Nicaragua. How much suffering there is among us here. How great the call of the gospel the love and the life of Jesus that we're about to be made present to. And how beautiful it is when that is shared. Lord, fill our hearts today with the gift of your life and love. And help us to live it in a world that in so many ways overlooks life and violates it. In a world where life and love need so much support. May God support us in that task, and may we support one another.